Maranatha. Supposed to be on the board. Okay. Well, you know, when we were here a couple years ago, we shared a little bit on the rapture. And if you remember, you mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 18, in the King James is the word Maranatha. And it means, O Lord, come. It was a greeting that they used to use in the days of the early church. And so let's say it together. Maranatha, again. Maranatha. Turn to somebody and say it. Maranatha. Amen. He's coming, right? And maybe today when you leave the church and go out, you can say that to somebody. Now, this is, I believe, the seventh lesson that we've had on prophecy. And got a couple more yet. I think the pastor's going to close us out on these, and we're looking forward to that. When I was, first of all, we studied about the rapture, the reason of the study prophecy, and then the rapture, and then the Antichrist, and then the tribulation period, and the Armageddon. And when I was shared on Armageddon a couple weeks ago, I didn't have these pictures with me, but I thought you might like to see them. This is actually the Valley of Armageddon. It's a vast valley. It's where the battle's going to begin in the end times. It's a valley of about 50 miles long and 20 miles wide. There you can see the mountain in the background is Mount of Tabor. Some of you probably have been there, but it's a huge valley. It's actually the breadbasket today for Israel. Very interesting place. Now, out in the in your bulletin, in the back of your bulletin today is the outline of the message. And some of these verses, we're going to look at about four different books of the Bible today. And I hope you can turn to those books. But you know, sometimes it's hard for us. We want to go back when we're at home to study those. So most all the verses that we're looking at is in your outline. And if you'd like to review that as you go back home today, you can do that. Because I know the millennium is something that we all know about, but we don't really know where it's at in Scripture. So I think that might be a help to you. Then on the back of the chart is also some more information on the millennium. And there I talk a little bit about the covenant, how this is the fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham and to David. It's called the Davidic covenant. And it is totally fulfilled pretty much during the millennial time. And I have some verses there for you to look at. We won't be touching on that a lot in the message, but I wanted you to have those verses today. And one more thing. Some of the songs we sang this morning, the doxology, and some of those are taken right out of Revelation. And last time I was here, I shared a couple weeks ago about the anthems, the doxologies in Revelation. And I challenge you to go through and read them. And I know one person did. I don't know how many rest of you did. But he called me twice and was telling me what a blessing it was. So I said, well, till the day, what I've done is I put the references down so to help you a little bit. You won't have to read through the whole book of Revelation. But they're out in the foyer if you want to pick them up. It's just as you read Revelation, it's just a note of praise to God 14 times. And also the blessings are there. And I trust that the Lord will bless you because of that. You're in Revelation chapter 20, as Darren read this morning. This is the classic passage of the millennium. It's the only place in the Bible where the word thousand years is mentioned. It's mentioned six times in this passage. Now, I want us to think today. I tried to put this down. It's actually one story that we could tell. But I wanted to put it in little segments to kind of help us to hang our thoughts on. And so there's four exciting truths I want us to look at today about the millennium that can really help us even in our own Christian life and make a difference in our lives. The first one is, you read this, I'm sure you saw it. It says that the devil is on death row. It says that he's bound up, he's shut up, and he's sealed up. Can you say that with me? Bound up, shut up, sealed up. You can do better than that. Say it again. Bound up, shut up, sealed up. That's where the devil's going to be during the tribulation period. He's not going to be running loose. He's a deceiver. And he deceives us today. And all of us have been deceived by the enemy. And I just wanted to share this in passing. I don't know if you, in Revelation, if you want to just hold your finger in 20 and go back to chapter 12, verse 11. It tells us how those people during the tribulation period overcame the enemy. It says they overcame him, chapter 12, verse 11, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now there's four areas there. And, you know, first of all, they overcame Satan by the blood. He hates the blood. And I'm so glad for the Lamb of God, aren't you? Jesus. And shed his blood for us. I know when in Trinidad, sometimes when we were working with trying to help folks become delivered from evil and Satan, we'd always have somebody in the next room praying with us, pleading the blood of Christ, because Satan hates the blood. And then it says they overcame him by the word of their testimony. Well, the word is important, and Jesus overcame Satan by the word of God, but this is also speaking about the word of your testimony. There's great power in your righteous testimony before a lost and dying world. And also it says they loved not their lives unto death. That means they were totally committed, willing to die for Jesus. Now that type of faith and attitude will overcome Satan, even today. We know he's not bound up, shut up, tied up today. He's running loose. He's a usurper. But on the cross, Jesus defeated him. And he gives us, we can have victory over him today. Now you'll notice in chapter, well, I want you to look at in verse 3 again. There's a word there I'd like for you to look at in chapter 20. It says that he would deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. Now that word is an interesting word. It means brought to completion. It means fulfilled. It means a commandment of God that has been completed. And you know, that's where we disagree with our millennial friends. Many of them believe that the millennium is all spiritual, and they apply it all to the day. And sometimes they say that the world is getting better. We're going to bring in the kingdom that way. But the Lord says here, or John says here, the Lord speaks through John, that this is going to be fulfilled. This is going to be completed. This is going to be finished. It's the same word used for Jesus when he died on the cross. Remember, what did he cry? He said, it is what? Finished. Completed. God's word completed. So we really believe that this is literal. Now, some people believe it's spiritual. I believe there's a lot of spiritual learning and truth we can get from it. And it's our hope as Christians. But it's still going to happen in a literal way. Now, you'll notice the second thing I want us to look at today. First, exciting truth is the devil is, what is he? Bound up. Amen. The second truth is Jesus will rule from Jerusalem with his saints for 1,000 years. Jesus will rule from Jerusalem with his saints for 1,000 years. Now, if you'll notice in verse 4, John says here, I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then he says, I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus, for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, nor the image, nor had received his mark on their forehead. Well, first of all, you might ask the question, who are the saints? He said Jesus is going to rule with the saints. I believe the saints are from Adam all the way down to the end of the tribulation period, all the believers, I believe, will be involved in the tribulation or in the millennial reign. And you'll notice here in verse 4, it says, John saw, I saw thrones, it says, and they sat on them, and judgment or decisions was given to them. Now, I believe that refers to the church and you and I, if we know Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us in other places. Now, it doesn't say right there it's the church, but in 2 Timothy 2:12 and 1 Corinthians 6:3, it says that we will reign with Christ, and we will even judge the world, it says. And this refers to the church. And also in Revelation 3:21, it says, when he speaks about those who overcame, he says, I will grant that they will sit on my throne with me. Think of that. We will be able to reign with Christ. Well, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what that all means. But the church will be there. Then not only that, but the Old Testament saints will be there. And now I want us to leave Revelation and go to our second passage, to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 to 30, we're going to read a lot of scripture today because I just want to share it with you. Jesus said unto them, now he's speaking to his 12 disciples here. They were kind of debating who was the greatest and all that. He says, I tell you the truth, in the regeneration, that means in, that's another word for the millennium, it's the same time he's referring to, of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now he was speaking to the disciples there, and I believe there he's indicating that the Old Testament saints will be there, and the disciples will have special responsibilities during the millennium. And then it also mentions that those, we already read that in Genesis 20, that those who had suffered and been had died and committed their lives to death during the tribulation period will be there. And then there's one other group of people that will be there, and that is, in all probability, there's going to be some people go through the tribulation period without dying. The Jews, there'll be many Jews that'll be alive. Zechariah 14 tells us only about a half of the city was taken. So there'll be a lot of Jews that'll go into the tribulation period without dying, maybe even some Gentiles. And so they'll be in the tribulation period in their regular bodies, just like you and I. They'll even have their old natures. Now, that's going to pose a lot of questions for you, I'm sure. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But we're just looking at this today a little bit as to who will be in the millennium. Now, we're going to reign with Christ. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah. This is our third passage today. Isaiah chapter 2. Jesus is going to reign from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. He says, in the last days, now he's speaking here about the millennial time, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. The temple of the Lord, the Jewish temple, will be rebuilt. There won't be an ark in it. There'll be a throne in it, and that's where Jesus will rule from the throne of David. Will be established among the mountains. It'll be raised up above the hills, and all nations will flow into it. As I said, there'll be a new millennium temple, and Jesus will rule. Now, verse 3. Many people will say, come, let us go to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So Jesus is going to rule with his saints in the restored temple from Jerusalem, and that's going to be an amazing time. Now turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, chapter 5. It says, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. He's going to rule in righteousness, Jesus is. And then notice verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth, look at this, shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow. Think about that. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner for the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Out of the temple, Jesus rules. The Gentiles are going to seek him. There's going to be a time of teaching the Word of God. It's going to cover the world as the earth, as the waters cover the sea. You say, won't we know everything when we get there? No, I believe it will be a time of learning. You never learn everything. And it's going to be a time of growth and learning and worship. We won't turn to chapter 12, but in Isaiah chapter 12, he speaks some of the songs that we're going to sing of worship. And it closes with, the God is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Wow. That's really going to be something. So we see during the millennium, the devil's going to be what? Bound up, shut up, sealed up. And then Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem along with his saints, all the saints, from the beginning of time to the end of the tribulation period. Now there's another exciting truth I want us to think about. There'll be peace among the nations for 1,000 years. World peace. Now the day when we come to Jesus and we turn from our sins, we have peace in our heart. We have peace with God. And then we have the peace of God as we begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible doesn't promise us that there will be peace, total peace among the nations until Jesus comes. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to make peace and all that's going on, you know, but there will not be peace until Jesus comes. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, this is a passage that we read a lot at Christmas time. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and they shall be called, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now the first part of this, unto us a child is born, that's when Jesus came to this earth and was born as a babe. But then it speaks about the government resting on his shoulders. Has that ever happened? Now, I know Jesus, the Lord, is sovereign, and he rules in the affairs of men. But up to this day, the government has never rested on his shoulders. And so you see, just within one verse or two, he goes from his birth to the millennium. That's why I said this song we sang was a good song, because it skips around. The Bible does the same thing. Sometimes, you know, you're reading about something and almost you're in the millennium. It really is helpful to understand that. Now look at verse 7 of this passage. I'm going to read this from the New International Version, a translation, because it was so helpful. It says, for his ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his servant David. And now the King James, I think, says the zeal of the Lord will perform this. But it says the passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. We got a God who knows the future, amen? He guarantees these things. Now, there's a verse that I want us to look at. I want you to go back to chapter 2, verse 4. I told you we'd be flipping back and forth a little bit. And that particular verse is the one that's on the screen right now. It says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, I understand, I've never seen it, but I understand that is that particular verse is engraved somewhere in the United Nations. Maybe it's in the Cornerstone. I don't know. Let's read it together. Isaiah 42b. They shall beat their... Come on, let's go. Read it together with me. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now that's the goal of the United Nations. But the only problem is, the goal is good, but it's without Jesus. And it'll never happen. You see, I don't know if you get the Time magazine. I guess it's not the best thing to take the Time magazine when you preach. But there's an article in here this week. And what does that say? God. God. And so I said, well, that arrested my interest. And so I decided to try to read that article. And, you know, it's one of the most dull articles I've read in my life. Because it's kind of sad because the person who wrote it really didn't know much about God. You know, it's kind of like me when I used to come to church before I was saved. And I used to think it was dull. My wife, I'd go to sleep. And my wife would poke me, you know. I kind of wake up until I came to know Jesus. Until he began to sit on the throne of my heart. And this article, it's interesting. It said, and he speaks about this. He says, the key word, I'm reading from it now, when we think of all religions, is tolerance. Well, it all depends on what you mean by tolerance. So we should be tolerant with one another. But when it comes to doctrine and truth, you can't be tolerant. Because God, now listen to this, God is growing in morality. Now what he's actually saying is God's learning as he goes along. He's growing. He says back in the Old Testament and in the Quran, when there was a lot of wars and stuff, God was kind of immature. But now he's developing and he's learning and he's growing. That's not my God, huh? What's the Bible say? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Eternal God. Well, you know, His goal at the end, well, let me finish reading here. You're probably getting bored about reading Time magazine in church. But, here, you know, he quotes this verse. That's what I wanted to get to. He speaks about, because Isaiah, he quotes Isaiah. Envision a day when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. And then he closes with this. He says, this happy ending may never happen if barriers continue to exist. Now, his name is Mr. Wright, but I think he's wrong. I appreciate his desire. He wants to see the Islam and the Jewish faith and the Christian faith all working together. But his goal is good. It's going to happen. I want you to see something in your Bible. Turn to Isaiah 19:6. This will blow you away. There's going to be a time, and there's going to be a highway built from Egypt to Assyria, which is Iraq, to Israel. Look at this. Isaiah 19:23 to 25. Now, this is during the millennium. In that day, verse 23, there shall be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, which is Iraq. Everybody would agree that. The Iraqis or Assyrians will go to Egypt, the Egyptians to Iraq, and the Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. Well, that don't sound too astonishing because they worship the same a religion today. But verse 24 says, in that day Israel be the one of the three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land. Can you imagine Israel, Egypt, Assyria worshiping Jesus? Huh? Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Look at verse 25. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, now look at this, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria or Iraq, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. All the nations are going to come together, worship God. There's going to be universal peace on the earth. Isn't that amazing? Now, you know, Anwar Sadat said they're going to push Israel into the sea. Well, he's gone, but Israel's still here. And, well, that's just really interesting. So we see that the devil will be bound. Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem with his saints. And there's going to be a 1,000 years of peace. There's one more truth, and this is kind of exciting, too, that I want you to look at. There's going to be enormous changes take place in the geography of the earth and in the animal kingdom. I don't know if we have many children here today, but I think this will interest you. You know, the curse that God put on Adam is going to be lifted. When Adam sinned, it says, God put on the ground, is going to be lifted. Cursed is the ground for your sake. To toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth from you. Now that was the curse on the ground. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 in your Bibles. Amazing passage. Verses 1 and 2 says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The desert or the wilderness will rejoice and blossom like a rose. It will burst into bloom. Now, it's beginning already. Israel's causing some of the deserts to bloom today, but not like it's going to be during the millennium. Now, look at verse 7. The burning sand will become a pool and thirsty ground, bubbling springs, and the haunts where the jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. The jackals are animals in the desert, sort of like our wolf, just a little bit smaller. But the curse is going to be lifted, and I don't know if we'll have any need for Gary's landscaping over there now, and I think we probably still will, because all the good things are going to keep growing. All right, now turn to Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. This is some of you children, young people, you got pets, you like animals. This is going to be a great change in the animal kingdom. The wolf will lie down. This is verse 9 of Isaiah, verse 6 to 9. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Verse 7, the cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. How many of you young people got a lion for a pet today? Verse 8, the infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child will put his hand into a viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth, again, it says, will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow. Sometimes young people ask me, will there be dogs in the millennium? Well, I can't answer that. I'd say if a dog would make you more satisfied, I believe there'd be dogs there. But I don't know. Now, our last passage, turn to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. Remember, we're talking now about the change of the geography of the earth, the animal. And while you're turning to 47, I want to read a little something from Zechariah. Because there's going to come tremendous geographical changes in the country of Israel itself. Now listen to what it says in Zechariah. In that day, the Lord's feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives it shall be split in two, from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now, think of that. When the Lord touches down, I have a map that's going to show that a little just now. As the Lord touches Mount Zion, part of it's going to go to the north, part of it's going to go to the south, and there's going to be a large valley. And on that day, verse 8 of Zechariah, the waters will flow from Jerusalem. Now think of this. Half to the east and half to the western sea in the summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. And on that day, there'll be one Lord and one name only. One name. Now, you see the map up there. The circle is Jerusalem. That's where the temple's going to be. It's going to be raised up, as we read there in Isaiah 2. But there's going to be a valley that goes from, part of it's going to, the water, there's going to come water out of the temple of Jerusalem, and it's going to flow into the Mediterranean Sea, and it's going to flow into the Dead Sea. And that valley, it talks about that in Ezekiel 47. Now, if you turn to Ezekiel, you're right there. It says, he asked me, son of man, what do you see? And then he led me back to the banks of the river. And I arrived there. This is 47 verse 7. Excuse me. And a number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, the water that flows from the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, or to the valley, that's down into the Dead Sea Valley, where it enters the sea and it empties into the sea, the waters will become fresh. Now the Dead Sea, nothing grows in the Dead Sea. I could fish in the Dead Sea and catch just as many as I fish in Kurtz Lake. But anyhow, nothing grows there. There's no fish there. Everything's dead. But when that water, that living water comes down, it's going to come alive. Swarms, let me read verse 9. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the water flows. There will be large number of fish because the water flowing there and makes the salt water fresh. Where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen, verse 10, will stand along the shore from En-Gedi. Right there is En-Gedi. And I can see Pastor Summers up there fishing in the Dead Sea. Can't you? Yeah. Maybe I can catch some fish there this time. But seriously, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. It's going to come alive. The waters are going to flow. Now, you might say, well, Brother B, what has that got to do with us today as we wrap this up? Well, first of all, we realize the devil's going to be bound. Secondly, Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem with his saints. Thirdly, there's going to be world peace, and all the nations are going to worship the Lord. And fourth, there's going to be enormous change that's going to come to the geography and the king and the animal kingdom during this time. Well, we must see, church, this is God's ideal. And this probably is what God had originally planned in the beginning until sin came in. And you see, this world today is without Jesus. And Jesus makes such a difference. And when those waters touch that Dead Sea, it's going to come alive. And you know, all of us are born as dead people. We're born dead in sin, the Bible says. And when we turn to Jesus, it's a beautiful picture, I think. When we turn to Jesus and receive him, our lives become alive. And we have fresh, he speaks of himself as being the living water. And he says, out of you will flow living water. And he speaks of it as the Holy Spirit. And just as that Dead Sea is a picture, I think, of those of us who know. And then it speaks about shalom, the peace. That's the Hebrew word for peace, is shalom. And Jerusalem means city of peace. And Jerusalem is going to be the city of peace there. And we too can have peace today and in our hearts. And we can have peace with God. We can have peace with ourselves. We can have peace with one another. We can have peace even with our environment. And we can, peace brings satisfaction. And I trust that you're experiencing, at least growing in that peace today. Only when Jesus becomes king of our lives. We'll never have peace in the world, according to the scriptures, until Jesus rules from Jerusalem. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, ruling from his righteous throne, then we'll know the true shalom. And he takes us by the hand and leads us through his earth again. What a day, glorious day that will be. You've heard the signs, peace now. Yes, we can have peace in our heart. We can have peace in our lives, peace with one another. And someday, we'll have peace in the world. I wonder where in our lives we need to allow that water of life touch. Maybe there's something in your life that you just need God to touch and bring it alive. Maybe you're a Christian, and yet there's something somewhere that is dead in your life. Only Jesus can make it alive. Thank you for that hope that we have. And someday you're going to reign. I pray today you would reign in our hearts. Lord, there's some areas where that living water needs to touch our lives. Touch our church. Touch our nation, oh God. We just commit ourselves to you today. And we love you. Thank you for that blessed hope we have. In Jesus' name, amen.